Sunday the 25th of November 2018, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Revelation Revealed. Sermon title, Transformed Living. Bible reading, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 11 and verse 27. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
This morning's reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 11 and then verse 27. The New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kathy, for reading God's word for us. Let us just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that the words that I speak will be your words, and that you would speak into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we open this passage on our last sermon from Revelation, it's a time to immerse ourselves in God's word to understand what this passage is saying to us as we find ourselves smack in the middle of the final scene of the entire Bible in many ways. This is what it's all about, and this is all that any of us need to know. What is beyond this life? What is our goal? Why do we worship and pray? Surely it's because we've been touched by the Spirit of God, transformed into his followers, his believers, who firmly believe that one day we will be a part of God's final victory. It's not about our quality of life or how it will work out, but it is about God. Surely we can't miss it. The first eight verses are all about God from beginning to end, the Alpha and Omega. Can you see him in these verses in our lives? Has he got centre stage? Because if he hasn't, he should have. Because he isn't a God who will create a new universe, he's the God who will create and is creating a people for himself, who he has entrusted with a message to transform lives, a message of grace, forgiveness, hope, love, and salvation through the promise of God's presence here with us. It's a message and a way of life that's really life itself, not the one that so many in our society think that they are living. So how can we bring this message to so many who do not even enter the church doors? Now, there are all kinds of great minds and thinkers writing and commenting on why people do not come to church or what we are doing wrong. Perhaps if we just had better preaching, sound system, modern music, or better parking, then more people would come. Now, I'm sure many of these churches would be improvements, but the one aspect of a church that makes the biggest difference and has never changed is the transformed lives of people. It's a community of people who have been changed by the sense of God's grace and live out their lives as though it really matters, living with a purpose and knowledge that one day Jesus will return. When visitors come into a church that is alive with the presence of God's Spirit, they can't wait to join in, to come and be part of that worshipping church and what is happening. Because when God's Spirit is felt in those churches, the warmth of his people, willing to listen and to love them for who they are, without them having to jump through hoops. Because as nice as good preaching, parking or music is, they are never as life-changing as the example of God's grace and love sitting next to them in the pew and welcoming them into the Christian life. And that's me and you. And I'm going to ask Dora to come and join us. And she's just going to share a few thoughts of our church when she first arrived and what made her stay. Thank you, Dora.
2 years ago, I decided it was time to leave my old church and to find a new place to worship. I listened to friends, recommendations, looked at accessible places and studied the websites of several churches before I narrowed down my choices to three. I decided that I would attend each church for a month and that before I'd made my final choice. St. Chad's was my first choice. It wasn't very easy leaving a church and coming into a new environment, but you made me very welcome. And there was ample friendship here, and lots of things to do, and you helped me settle in. However, I kept to my promise, and after a month, I moved on to trial the other two. They were just as welcoming and had as many exciting groups and activities on offer as you do have here. But my heart brought me back to St. Chad's. From the very first visit, I felt the Holy Spirit in this church. And each time I step through that door, I feel a fragrance that beckons me in and confirms that my relationship with Christ is still ongoing. This is what makes St. Chad's special to me. I know it's not the bricks and the mortar, because we went off to Ashburnham and we carried that spirit with us. So it's you. It's true that when we meet, as also in the house group, that feeling is there as well. And I wish to thank the house group for inviting me to that. So I just want to say thank you all for sharing your love and for welcoming me into this church and for your fellowship in changing my life.
Thank you very much. I wonder, do you feel that same fragrance when you come through the doors? Do you feel God's spirit at work in your life? Because that is what matters. And I believe that this is what the book of Revelation is speaking about. How we live out our lives in this world and how we can transform the lives of others by the way we live. And when we do, God's spirit does the rest. Right at the very beginning of this chapter, it speaks about a new heaven and an earth. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, is described as the place where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Forevermore, there will be no more death, pain, sorrow, mourning, suffering or crying. And the beauty and wonder is of a God who comes, as a God who comforts, carrying every burden, tear or fear that has ever gripped us, and every worry about the future. What a wonderful truth that no matter what any of us might be going through, it's not the last word. God has written the final chapter, and it's about fulfillment and eternal joy for those who love him. The promise of the Bible is that one day this world as we know it will pass away and be replaced with a much better one, a new and wonderful life to come. Can you imagine a world without sin, pain, illness, addiction or death? A perfect world, a new Eden where we can live together in peace and harmony. A place prepared for us by God where there is great joy and family unity. God's promise to us is that there is such a place, and one day he will take us to be with him there. One morning, 5-year-old David and his granddad were on their way to Dunkin' Donuts to buy donuts when his granddad turned to David and asked, "Which way is heaven?" David pointed to the sky. "Which way is hell?" And David pointed towards the floor. Granddad then asked, "And where are you going, David?" "Dunkin' Donuts," David replied. That's the way most people live their lives. They don't give any thought to their ultimate destiny, only to where they are going today at this moment in time. And as a result, their lives have no real direction or purpose, and they end up wasting their lives in empty pursuits or pointless detours that go nowhere. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is Lord over everything. And scripture tells the story of a beautiful world created by God and then the catastrophic fall that changed our lives forever. But God loves us so much and does not want to leave us in a world of hopelessness. So he chases around after us, seeking to redeem us. And he does this by sending his son to give his life as a ransom for all. John then goes on to tell us how this will happen. In the final part of verse 6, those beautiful words, to him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. This promise of eternity echoes another verse from Isaiah 55:1. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy. Come buy wine and milk without money. This is the future that God has in store for us, that we will be satisfied and never thirst again. So how is it that God can offer something as valuable as the water of life without payment? Because he is God, who has covered the cost with the blood of the Lamb, blood spoken about through the pages of Revelation, his own Son, Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. As we have gone through this wonderful and exciting book, the question I would like to ask is, what has inspired you? Is it about your faith in Jesus and how you live out that faith? Do you fully understand the consequences of sin and what that means to the unbeliever? Because if you don't, then verse 8 makes it clear what will happen to those who do not follow God's commands. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the second death, which is a spiritual death, a permanent separation from God, which is Satan's plan for all humanity. He would have us believe that those who follow Jesus are losers, trying to convince us that those who trust and live for him miss out on all the fun. But throughout the book of Revelation, we find out who the real losers are. They are those who do not know the difference Jesus makes in their lives. Yes, they may have heard of him, and the sad thing is, they may even go to church and be involved in church life. But do they really know who Jesus is and the sacrifice he made? Not so that we can puff ourselves up thinking, I'm okay, I give money to the church, I attend church, and I might even sit on a committee or two. But none of these things matter if you do not allow God's Spirit access to your whole life and be changed into the person that God has called you to be. We cannot play at being a follower of Jesus. We're either on his side or not. There's no in between. And Revelation 3:16 says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Now you might think, that's a bit harsh. But sugarcoating our salvation will not help in the long run. We are special because God has called us, loved us, and saved us. Our lives matter. And it's no good us looking through rose-coloured glasses thinking, it's okay, we're saved, so we don't have to do anything else. We cannot stroll through our faith. We have a responsibility to God, his church, this community, our friends, family, and work colleagues, to make a difference. Because as Christians, our mission is to bring people into the kingdom of God. So when the time comes to meet our Maker, we will stand in victory and be raised to reign with Christ. When Jesus spoke about his kingdom in Matthew 25, 21 and 23, he promised his followers, "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." When we choose to follow Jesus, we have the assurance of eternity, ruling and reigning with him. But it also comes with responsibilities. If we want to share in the happiness of his reign and be put in charge of many things, we have to allow Jesus into our lives to transform us into those people who know and love him and follow him. We end our sermon series with this wonderful description of the new city of God in verse 11. The vision is symbolic and shows us that our new home with God will be amazing. Words cannot do justice to it. It will be heaven on earth, a new Eden, and we will not be disappointed by any way, shape or form. The C.S. Lewis wonderful books, The Chronicles of Narnia, the characters that have lived in Narnia have completed their time and work there. In a closing chapter in the book entitled Further Up and Further In, Aslan the Lion, who represents Christ, has come for them in order that he might take them home. They are headed away from Narnia and about to enter Aslan's land. And as he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. And the things that began to happen were so great and beautiful that they could not be written down. This was the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has ever read, which goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before, and one of the characters cries out, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now." I believe that when we finally enter heaven, we too will say, "This is the land that I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now." If it were not for the hope of heaven, this life would be impossible at times. However, we need to realise that the hope of heaven is not a means to escape the difficulties of life. In fact, just the opposite. The hope of heaven and eternity is the means by which we can face the realities of life. We are aliens and strangers in a foreign country called Earth. We live in tents, feeble, temporary dwellings, but we are headed for glorious permanence. We may live on shifting sand now, but we are headed every day toward the city with foundations, the city that will never fall, the city whose builder and maker is none other than Jesus Christ, the carpenter from Nazareth. And verse 27 says, "Nothing impure will enter it, only whose names are written in the book of life. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Are you travelling along the right pathway? We cannot rely on getting in because of our background, personality, or good behaviour. Eternal life is available to us only because of what Jesus, the Lamb, has done. We must trust in him to secure our citizenship in his new creation. Trust me, this world, with its temptations and distractions, does not even come close to the joy and peace that Jesus offers in his holy city, the New Jerusalem, that comes down from heaven to meet his bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, you and me, which Bob explained about last week. Are we ready to meet him? Are we dressed to accept him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have sent your Son to save us. Father, help us to understand what it means to be a Christian, to love you, to follow you, to put you first. Father, we cannot do it in our own strength, but when you walk beside us, we can do amazing things. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.